This is episode 16 with your coach's coach, Cy Blackburn. Welcome to Entrepreneur Coast. My name is Svetlana, and each day we share an inspirational story or message to help you create the business and life you deserve. Hey, Cy, and welcome to Entrepreneur Cast. It's such a great pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here, Svetlana. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You said you're in Delhi now. Is that correct?
Yes, I am in Delhi. And would you know it, the only part of India which is freezing at this time of year. So it's wonderful, it's crazy, and it's cold.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought you were really nice and sunny right now, and you'll send this little bit of sunshine to London.
Yeah. Well, I would try to, but unfortunately, I think, you know, we're both in the pits on that one.
So, Cy, before we get on with the business side of things, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you outside of your business?
I am somebody that loves to climb, speak. Facebook following of 4.3 million right now. Yeah, one of the things I really love to do is travel as well, but more long-term travel. So 2 months here, 2 months there versus, you know, a couple of days here, a couple of days there.
So the adventurous kind of person.
Yeah, you might say that. You might say that to my wife's dismay, but I would like to think so.
Cy, tell us about your business. What is it that you do? And what has inspired you to start it?
So what I do is I run a coaching business which trains coaches on how to build up their business online. And the one thing that we tend to do, Svetlana, that nobody else does in our space, is we actually build a lot of the technology for our people. What I realize is that most of the people that come to us are in their 40s and 50s, and while they're amazing when it comes to creating transformation in others, when it comes to building up all of the infrastructure that it takes to run an online coaching business, they just don't want to do it. And so we not only mentor, but we also build up the technology for other coaches. And we built our team up to about 21 people right now. So it's a small little army. And yeah, that's what we do.
And do you have, other than technological part of things, do you have sort of a how-to guide to the new coaches to basically have a blueprint of what questions to ask, how to coach people, etc.?
Right, got it. No, that's one thing that I don't even cover. And the reason I don't cover it is because I want the people that we serve to already know that they're making a massive difference in the world. And let me give you an example. If we were to do it for everybody, it would be a challenge because one of the things I also like to do is do live streaming to our audience. And typically, some of the coaches that we have on those live streams are getting 20,000 views in the space of 24 hours. Right, just because they're going out to their perfect audience. So I need to be very careful as to who we let on board because we work massively with these coaches and also work on the exposure aspect too.
So Cy, you know how we get, whenever we start in business, we all have challenges. What would you say was your greatest challenge and how did you manage to overcome it?
Good question. And here's what I faced. The challenge in business is not knowing what to do. It's knowing what not to do. Because there are so many different avenues you can go down. Like imagine it like an RPG, a role-playing game, like Final Fantasy or something like that. When you're playing a video game, there are only a finite number of roads that you can go down. There's like maybe 10 at the very most. And most of them all lead further in the game. When you're running a business, the challenge is your energy bar is your cash flow. And the moment your cash starts to go down, if you don't replenish it, you're dead, right? Game over. And the tricky thing is knowing what not to do. Because everybody, I believe when you go into business, you know what to do, but it's like finding a diamond or a needle in a haystack. It's mixed with all of this other stuff, which seems like a good idea. Should I create a YouTube channel or a Facebook page or a Twitter account or a podcast? Or should I interview guys this way or that way or that way or that way? And so what I found, Svetlana, is the truth is nobody knows. Nobody knows what you should and should not do. The only person that knows are the result. And so the trick is, how do you figure out how to shorten that iteration cycle so that you're getting results really quick, so you can dump the things that don't work and keep the things that do? And so the way that I managed to go over that was actually go back to eighth grade or year eight chemistry, where they have the scientific method, right? They have a hypothesis, they have a test case, and they have a result that they're expecting. And then you go and test the hypothesis and see the results. And if the results are good, you move forward. And if you don't, and ideally, like, let me give you an example. Right. What we're doing right now is we're cracking away with Facebook ads. And so what we're doing is we've got a hypothesis that one of three pictures are going to get higher click rates than the others. Right. And by the way, that background sound is the craziness of where I'm at right now. So I hope you enjoy it. So our hypothesis is that the way we're going to test it is we're going to run an ad with the same audience, with the same headline and the same copy, just with three different pictures. And the results that we're looking for is which one gets the most clicks. Based on that, we will keep that picture and then start doing the same thing with the headline and the copy. So it's no different than what we did in year eight. It's just now applied to business. So you've got to take your assumption of what you think is going to work, make a short test of it, as short as you can, and then try it out. If it meets the criteria of the results, fantastic. Move forward with it. If it doesn't, dump it quickly. Too many people waste too much time banging their head, myself included, against something that would never have worked in the first place.
Okay, Ty, so we obviously know that, you know, you overcame your challenge, which is fantastic. What would you say was, within your business and life, what would you say was your greatest success?
It's hard to say because the successes were few, but what I will say to do that is you don't really need many wins in order to be considered a success. If you look at a few companies around the world, Gillette is still selling the Mach 3 razor. Right, Gillette is selling disposable razors as well. Right, these two things are the base of their business model. Everything else is built around one or two tiny successes, which ended up being very scalable. So I can't tell you what successes were the great ones, but what I will say is really understanding that success is a result of iterations, meaning that you have to find one or two things that work, and then pump out that as much as you can.
I have a question which I usually ask just really for fun. So where would you say you come up with your best ideas?
From other people. So let me give you an example. Very few of my ideas or anybody that I know that's created massive success are original. Very few, if any. What generally happens is school teaches us to think in a very linear way. And what that means is they teach us to think in a way which is just a straight line. So A plus B equals C. And in real world, that doesn't happen. A plus B could equal a pumpkin, or fish plus pumpkin could equal C. You don't know what's going to get you to a certain place. And so generally what people do is they think that if I do this, I'm going to get results. So many of the clients that come to me say, so I tell me what to do and I'll do it. That's an attitude which may have worked in school, right? You may have studied hard and gotten good grades. In the real world, it doesn't reward you for effort. You do not get a grade for how much effort you put in as much as we may like to. And that's with entrepreneurship. If you don't win, if you don't succeed, it's a quiet clap. Nobody pays attention to it. If you do succeed, then you start to make some noise. If you work as an employee, that's when you start to get praise and punishment based on what you do. So the best ideas, bringing it back to your question, Svetlana, come from other people. And so generally what I find is in different industries, people have no idea what other industries do. So, for example, in the podcast world or the online world, most people in the online world have no idea how a restaurant runs, a successful restaurant runs, or have no idea how a football team runs. They have no idea of the techniques and the strategies which work really well in the restaurant. They have no idea. They just seem to think that they're geniuses and everybody else is an idiot. However, when you look at people that change the game, the ones that make a difference so far beyond, I'm talking multiples of what's been done before, what you'll find is their idea has been executed just in a totally different industry. And so the most powerful ideas come to those that are able to translate across industries. So they're able to take something which works in a restaurant and apply it to, let's say, a cosmetics brand. They're able to create parallels between industries. And so what I would say is stop looking at what ideas are going to be great and start looking at what ideas have already been implemented but are not necessarily in your industry that are working like a charm. Because if you can translate those ideas, that's when you're going to start to get multiples in terms of the results which you have.
Brilliant. You just reminded me there when I studied graphics in college, they would make us do exactly that. You just take, say, the word rubbish, and then you would have to take physical rubbish and put it together. So
exactly.
that would really make you think outside of the box, trying to put that. So thank you for that, Sai. Sai, you know, as we, most of us, probably not everybody, but most of the people look up to somebody and get that inspiration. So do you personally have any personal heroes?
No. And I don't mean that in an arrogant kind of sense. I've had a ton of mentors in my time. I advocate massively to have mentors, massively. The only thing is, quite often, did you ever see that film Get Him to the Greek with Jonah Hill and Russell Brand?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so the concept of the film is you have this guy that works in a music studio, right, in a recording agency. And he's really passionate about this rock star called Aldous Snow, Russell Brand. And then one day he gets the opportunity to take Aldous Snow, who he's adored for a decade, and bring him to the equivalent of Madison Square Gardens, which was the Greek theater. And so he's so pumped. He thinks this guy is God. He thinks he's utterly amazing. Right, and he meets Aldous Snow, and the guy's a bloody disaster. He can't get anything right. He misses 10 of his flights, and all he cares about is drinking and having fun. And so then Jonah Hill is just getting more and more disillusioned. How could I have ever idolized this guy? Right, what the hell was wrong with me? And then one day he takes him to a talk show, and he's supposed to perform on that talk show. And again, it's like one disaster after another disaster, and he's getting totally disillusioned at this point. Then Aldous, Russell Brand, performs. And the moment he steps up onto the stage, it is like God's hand goes in and starts pumping his heart because he kills it. He does stuff which nobody else ever does. And then all of a sudden, Jonah Hill looks at him and that same, the puppy dog guy is like, oh my God. And the moment that the show ends, again, he comes back to being a disaster. And this is what I found with mentors as well. So much of the time, I used to idolize people. I used to think that they were great. What I found out, though, is somebody that may have amazing social skills have absolutely no integrity when it comes to their word. Somebody that's amazing at business may be fat as hell, right, and have no regard for their physical body. And what I came to learn, Svetlana, is stop idolizing the person because you're going to end up like Jonah Hill, getting completely disillusioned. However, the trait that you see in that person is true and it's pure. So whatever you find in mentors, in guides, in coaches that you love, don't make that out to be the whole coach is like that because you're going to be disappointed just like I was for the first 10 years when I got my first mentor and subsequent mentors. I was always disappointed because I idolized the character, not the attribute. So when it comes to understanding who you look up to, I say don't. Don't look up to somebody because you will be disappointed because you'll idolize the entire character. Understand that the attribute that character displays that you absolutely love, that is what is real. Love that, but not the character itself. So looking up to somebody, absolutely not. Aspiring to have the character traits that somebody you admire has, go down that route. It'll keep you so much happier in the long run.
You obviously have a lot of experience and knowledge in business and entrepreneurship. What would be your top three tips and strategies for the listener today?
So here's what I've learned, right? Tony Robbins has a phrase that says, All success is 70% psychology and 30% mechanics. It's something around that ratio, but a very unbalanced ratio. And what I found is something very similar. Most things that dictate success in anything, but since we're talking about business and business itself, go on between the ears. They go on in terms of the beliefs that you hold around the world, the beliefs that you hold around yourself. So firstly, I would say look into, if you're not where you want to be, look into what are the internal beliefs which you have about yourself. Do you believe that you're worthy? Do you believe that you're good enough? Right? And of course, everybody's going to say, yes, I am worthy. I am good enough. Well, the easy way to say that, see that, is look at the actions. Did you get up at 6 a.m. when you said you would, or did you get up at 9 a.m.? Did you go and make that call that you said you were going to make, or did you make an excuse? Did you say, you know what, it's my birthday or it's Christmas today, I'm not going to work on my dreams? Or did you actually get stuff done, even if it was just a little bit? All of these little things will tell you what your beliefs are. I've found that most people are blind to what really goes on between the ears, including myself. All I have to look at is the actions that I take. That will show me that will give me a good compass as to what my internal beliefs are at any one time. The next thing is one of the biggest things that influences internal beliefs is environment. I know that so much of coaching is to do with willpower and understand that you control your environment. But here's what I've found. You know, you can have willpower for one day or 2 days, but what about a week? What about a month? What about if you go on a diet and your partner, the person that you love, keeps on eating trash, right? And not only that, all of your friends keep on eating trash and drinking every day, and you've decided, I'm going to have no carbs and no alcohol and no sugar. All of a sudden, you go out to a restaurant, everyone around you is saying, hey, you know what? It's so delicious. This tiramisu, you've got to have it. It's to die for. And you're like, no. I am on a diet. Okay, you've done that for one day. Well done. One hand clapping. Good for you. What about the next day? And the next day? And the next day? What about a month later when you're still being presented with something which you know is going to break the word that you gave yourself? Then what? I consider myself a pretty headstrong kind of guy, but I always fall down when it comes to environment. You've got to shift your friends. And when I say shift your friends, I don't literally mean dump the people that are not empowering you, but I mean invite them to step up. Change the conversations that you're having with them. Change the kind of things that you share with them and allow them to step into that. And if they don't, time to find some new friends. So the next biggest thing, and I'm only going to give two here rather than three, because I feel that if I give a third, it may overwhelm everybody. But first one is the beliefs, and the second one is control the conversations and the community that you surround yourself with. If you're spending your time smoking weed and drinking every day versus working on what you want to achieve in the world, it's time to take a good look at the environment that you surround yourself with and ask yourself, is this environment going to get me to where I want? Or am I going to be sucked in like a bucket of crabs?
That's a really great piece of advice. Thank you for that, Sai. So, you know, during your journey, obviously especially in your coaching practice, you probably came across quite a few technical bits, providing that you work with other coaches and help them in the technical bits. So would you be able to recommend any kind of resources to our audience that you came across and would be really helpful?
One of the biggest ones is, you know what I was saying about monitoring your community and your conversations? Now, we'll probably get a bit of backlash for this here, but here's what I've found. Facebook and online pornography are one of the two biggest detriments to anybody achieving their dreams. By Facebook, I mean garbage media. I'm talking about media which just pollutes your mind. Now, the great irony of this, Svetlana, is I have 4.3 million people that follow me on Facebook in some capacity. And here I am saying it's garbage media. Here's what I mean by that. So often we're scrolling through our feeds and everything that we see, our friends are giving us emotional reactions. We're like seeing this curated version of somebody's life that is so not real. Right now I'm in Delhi. We're going to go up to Kashmir in a couple of days, which is one of the most beautiful parts of the country. And like last week I was in Thailand, in Bangkok, and around the beaches as well. on the surface, I could post pictures of us in our hotel eating this breakfast, you know, overlooking this river because it was a five-star hotel. And then I could take a picture of where we are in Delhi and then overlooking the mountains. And you would think a certain thing about my life. But what I didn't tell you is that I got food poisoning on my second day. What I didn't tell you, I accidentally ripped my jeans badly while leaving the airport. And I trashed one of my most favorite pair of jeans, right? Like, this kind of stuff is not displayed in garbage media. All you see is this curated version of somebody's life, and anybody could do it. Anybody, right? If you want somebody to believe you're wealthy, why not just go and take a selfie in front of a private jet? What are people going to think? They're going to think that that's real. That's part of your life. And so one of the greatest things that my mentor told me, Svetlana, is to ditch it, dump it. It's not real. It's the matrix. It's a world that your friends have curated in order to make everybody jealous, to get adulation on the likes and the comments that they get on their Facebook wall. So to pre-contextualize this, and I know this is going to lead to backlash because some people say, hey, it's messages of inspiration. I love to see motivational quotes. Well, guess what? I own a Facebook page with 2.9 million fans called Motivational Quotes. And I'm still telling you this, right? It is a distraction from your mission in this world to focus on what other people are doing. Let that go via Facebook. And one of our coaches, a guy that I know that you know as well, a guy called OB, recommended this thing called a Facebook wall blocker. And let me just look in Slack for a moment to see exactly what the name was. Hold on one second. Okay, that'll come up when it comes up. Yeah. It's called Newsfeed Eradicator for Facebook. So basically what that allows me to do is it allows me to still post on the pages, still monitor my ads, still check messages, but I don't see any feed, which means I don't scroll, which means I'm not being surrounded by the fakeness of what's being presented to me. Therefore, I still focus on my vision and my mission. So the Newsfeed Eradicator for Facebook has been awesome. The next thing that's been great is an email follow-up tool called Rebump, because I know one of the hardest things, especially when you get to some level of success, is following up conversations, right? How do you make sure that when somebody doesn't reply that you're constantly on the line with them as well? And Rebump, what it does is it allows you to automatically follows up people. So once you send a message, it sends a message a few days later. It's like, hey, Linda, did you get my last message? I just wanted to check in. All right, just checking in, Linda. It's been a couple of days now. Please get back to me. Just wanted to ping one more time, Linda. Did you get my message? And it sends this in intervals. So that's basically what Rebump does. So those are the two things that I would say. In terms of things which will drastically make a massive difference in your life, again, this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I can tell you what it's done for me. I can tell you what it's done for our team when they've done it, is a media fast. So literally, not using garbage media for 30 days. And I mean pornography, I mean social media, I mean streaming media, I mean television. The only things that you keep are audiobooks, music, and reading. 30 days, and just watch what happens in your life. You will have a drastically different level of success than anybody that didn't do it. Drastically. Don't believe me? Try it out. Still don't believe me? Watch somebody else do it, and you'll see exactly what happens to them.
Definitely. It sounds really good.
It's incredibly
I can agree with you.
So hard, Svetlana. And the reason behind it is because, I mean, we run a tech company, right? So we look into what goes on. Everything in the online world is designed to trigger dopamine releases. Everything. Right, so it's so easy to get hooked on iPhone games and media because that's what it's designed to do in a way that Vegas used to do. But imagine Vegas on steroids, and that is what we expose ourselves to multiple times a day, and there are no regulations on what you can and cannot do. It is so difficult to do it, but I promise you, once you pass that hump, it'll be one of the most rewarding things you've ever done in your life. And I say that without hyperbole.
Remove all distractions. Totally.
Not distractions, garbage media.
Garbage media.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, Sai, you know, a lot of successful people say that they came at some point towards a book that absolutely changed their life. Did you come across any book that actually changed your life?
It's funny you say that. Yes. And The book is relatively unknown. It's known among 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds, but in the adult world, nobody really knows it. And it's a book by Dr. Seuss. The book is called Oh, the Places You'll Go. And this book it touches my heart in a way that nothing before it ever has. And you know the crazy thing about this, Svetlana, is the book is no more than 600 words. A lot of pictures. It's about this boy's journey into the world and how he sees that he's going to become one of the greatest people to ever ever live. And it goes through page after page of how he's going to succeed. And in his mind, he's going to do amazing things. And then he fails. And it talks about his journey through the failure and picking himself up again. And then starting to believe again and going at it again. And then he fails. And then it goes through these iterations of him believing he'll succeed and then failing and believing he'll succeed and then failing and then just being okay with it, believing so much in himself that he does not focus on the failures anymore, that he just focuses on the direction that he's going. And at the end of the book, there are two pages which are like, wow, wow, what a thing to say. And you see that and it just will blow you away. The last two pages of that book. So, Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss.
Well, I guess I know what my next book is going to be.
Yeah. I carry it with me everywhere. And a weird thing was, it was a friend when I used to live in Bali in Indonesia. It was a friend that was leaving the next day. And he says, hey, I have this book. I think you'll like it. I really liked it. And it was literally, he picked it up from a thrift store in the States, or like a flea market in the States. And it had, you know, somebody's writing on it to her daughter that just graduated med school. But it's one of the most precious things that I own, is that book. It's one of the most precious things that I own.
So this is the kind of point where we are about to start wrapping up. But before we say our goodbyes, is there anything else you would like to share or advise to us?
All right. No, I think that's it. I think that's it. Thank you so much, Svetlana, for inviting me to speak.
Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure. What's the best way for people to find you, Sai?
So you can follow the page, Motivational Quotes, or you can attend one of our webinars, which is How to Turn Your Coaching into an Inspirational Business, which has £4,000 to £5,000 a month. Just go to sai.coach, 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 and click on webinar, and you will see it right there.
Thank you so much, Sai. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I really look forward to catching up sometime soon.
Cool. See you soon. Bye-bye.